This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
It's now time for Connecting Caregivers with author, speaker, caregiver advocate, and talk show host, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for caregivers.
Today, it's time to lift you up. It's time to celebrate. Good afternoon and welcome to Connecting Caregivers with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers with love, laughter, and lessons learned. And on the boards today, we have Mr. Ed. Hey, Ed.
I feel a little underdressed today, I guess.
Yes, you don't have your little St. Patty's Day hats like we have.
I think I have a shirt somewhere.
Well, get it out. You got a couple days. And with me, as always, is my best friend, my co-host, and my sidekick, not psychic, Lynn Thornley.
Good afternoon.
So Lynn brought us in a little St. Patty's Day hats today.
Yes, and today I was very busy this morning.
Why?
I did my clocks.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't even think about that. How many clocks?
25.
25 clocks. Well, did you do them the right way this time?
Yes.
Last year, she did them the opposite way.
Yeah.
You want to tell you my experience real quick?
Yeah.
My first FM job, I was running the board in the morning, like at 6 o'clock in the morning till 9. It was a pre-recorded show. I couldn't speak or nothing. It was all recorded. And the guy kept saying, like, every 15, 20 minutes, don't forget to set your clocks back 1 hour. And he kept doing it and doing it and doing it. And I would get calls and calls. No, you're supposed to put them forward. Put them forward. So finally, when I got to speak, I said, boy, is that guy going to be late to work on Monday?
Oh, yeah. That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Now they're having all the arguments, so they keep it just one way and whatever. Every year they have the argument and nothing happens.
Yeah, but I had a laugh on the news. They were saying, look, all of your phone and your TV, they set themselves.
Yeah.
Right? And they make movements you can buy like that now. And I'm not going to bother at this point because I think eventually we will go.
Yeah, one way.
One way.
Yeah.
Do you know, there's two states that don't go daylight.
Who?
And that's Arizona and Hawaii. But the Navajo Indian tribe in Arizona does go daylight.
Too confusing.
Too confusing for me.
The one thing for all of us would be good. Well, anyway, today is Skylar and Devin's, my granddaughter and my grandson-in-law's first wedding anniversary. So happy anniversary to you guys in Germany. I love you very much, and we'll talk later. We'll talk tomorrow on Zoom. So that's very exciting. That's been a fast year.
Oh,
that was
God.
The only good COVID thing last year.
Well, it was the very beginning of COVID, then. Yep. No more weddings after. Yep.
We made it just in the nick of time.
Yeah. And it was on Friday the 13th, the only reason you got the hall.
Exactly.
Because nobody else wanted it.
Exactly. And so, it all worked out great.
Perfect.
All worked out great.
Perfect.
So our newest listeners, we have Sapphire from St. Pete.
Wow.
That's a pretty name.
Very.
Janika from Tampa and Shirley from Ohio.
Well, welcome, ladies.
So welcome, ladies. We always have plenty of room around the Connecting Caregivers table for new listeners, whether it's when the show is live or on the YouTube or Facebook or Apple iTunes or my website. We're everywhere trying. We had a great support group this morning, which was very fabulous. In the beginning, I never thought I was going to like those support groups on Zoom, but I really do. And this morning we had two people from Olympia, Washington.
Wow.
And a girl from Georgia, and the rest were from the area. Most of the ones from the area were from my original Art and Quartz group. So it's kind of cool, because you build relationships, and so
sure.
Do they, everybody else in the group. But right now, we have a fabulous guest, Miss Grace Terry. Hello, Grace.
Good morning.
How are you?
Now it's good afternoon. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I'm blessed and happy to be here.
And I'm happy you're here today. It's on this beautiful sunny day here. Grace has been my friend for about 20 years, and she is just so fabulous, and she knows so much about grief. And she's recently wrote a new book, The Spiritual Pathway of Grief, A Traveler's Guidebook. And as many of you know, I'm still in stages of grieving. I don't think there's a day it ends. You know, there's different seasons, I think, of grieving. And Grace just came out with this new fabulous book. I absolutely love it. For the people that are seeing it here, I'm holding it up. Fabulous, fabulous. So Grace, tell me how you got into grief education and coaching and why you wanted to write this book.
Well, Linda, thank you. That's a great question. You know, I think grief chose me, and it chooses most of us. But in 1984, perhaps all of us, in 1984, I experienced three traumatic losses in less than 1 year. And so that was, 35 years ago, at least. And so I was young. I was a young mental health professional trying to establish myself. In the space of less than a year, the first traumatic loss was that I was suddenly, unexpectedly unemployed. Mm-hmm. And if you've never been suddenly, unexpectedly unemployed, then you might not know how traumatic that can be. But it was for me, definitely. And then before I could find another job, my husband suddenly, unexpectedly, and very rudely divorced me.
Very rudely.
Unnecessarily rudely. But that's okay. You know, God bless him. Just 2 or 3 months after that, my mother, who was 56 years old, a vibrant, beautiful, was killed in an automobile accident. So
that is way too much for somebody to handle. 1, 2, 3, bang.
1, 2, 3, bang. And there have been other traumatic losses since then, but since 1984, I have been an active student of grief, if you will, because the only way I know how to deal with life and its challenges is say, what can I learn from this? What can I learn from this? Yeah.
Good for you.
So, thank you. Well, otherwise, what are you going to do? So I became a student of grief, and within a few years of my three traumatic loss in 1 year, I started teaching what I was learning. And I want to say to everybody, you don't have to know everything about a subject to start teaching what you do know.
And I always say, for myself personally, I teach what I need to know.
Thank you. One of my most influential spiritual teachers said, we teach best what we most need to learn.
Oh.
And, yeah, isn't that good?
Yeah.
We teach best what we most need to learn. In preparing to teach, of course, we learn more. And then, of course, I've always learned a great deal from those who did me the honor of coming to my workshops and seminars and so forth. I learn a lot from my clients in my mental health practice, counseling practice. If we're teachable, which one thing I heard one time is that humility only means being teachable. So I have always, and to this very day, tried to remain teachable, that is, humble. And I don't know everything. I don't know everything about anything.
Grace, I learned with my support groups that I learned something new on the caregiver support group this morning. I learned because I think once you become that teacher, and as you gather that education, you're still in thirst of more education. You're still open to that and open to the possibilities that maybe there's something new or something I don't know about.
Constant learning. And, you know, of course, in Miracles says we never teach without learning and we never learn without teaching. So that's how I started on the conscious pathway of grief education, to learn and to share what I've learned. So in my 40-year career as a professional helper in the field of social work, I have experienced that through the lens of a grief educator and grief support specialist. Mm-hmm. And, everybody who needs a professional helper has had traumatic loss of one kind or another.
Right.
And then when we just meet people on a day-to-day basis, if we get beyond the superficial conversations, if we learn people's story, which I'm a storyteller and mm-hmm. a story lover, and I think everybody has a story worth telling, a story worth hearing.
Yes.
When you learn people's story, everybody has experienced traumatic loss, and
somewhere,
so, you know, before the pandemic, Linda, there was a huge shortage, if you will, scarcity of effective grief support in our culture before the pandemic. And now that we're all experiencing the losses of COVID,
it's huge.
There's even more grief. And so my husband and I have been self-quarantined for the past year. And so after a couple of weeks of being self-quarantined, I'm like, what am I going to do with myself?
Right.
Well, so it seemed a good time to sit down and write a couple of books that I have intended to write for many years and never just sat down.
And did it.
And did it. So now I have done it. And the first one was really just sort of I intended it to be sort of a practice because
right.
The second one, the grief book, is the one that I really... that's my passion.
The first book was 10 Simple Strategies for a Happier You, Changing the World from the Inside Out, which I think is fabulous for anybody.
Thank you.
But you, as always, being the grief counselor and everything, I think the second book, The Spiritual Pathway of Grief, is very interesting too. And one of the things I want to talk about, Grace, is the stages of grief. And what do you think about that?
Okay, I'm so happy you asked that, but one little point, this is a minor point, but I want to say the title is The Spiral Pathway.
Oh, that's right, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah.
No worries. Well, and it is true that the pathway is spiritual, not necessarily religious, but
right.
But the title of the book, in case somebody wants to find it on Amazon.com, The Spiral Pathway of Grief.
Yes, and you can see on the cover it has a spiral.
Yes, it does. So the stages of grief. Well, with all due respect to Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, I maintain that there are no stages of grief. And to speak about grief in terms of stages, in my opinion, is very misleading and confusing. And I'm not the only one who thinks that, by the way. There are many thoughtful scholars and clinicians who would agree with that, or I agree with them. We all agree. We give credit where credit is due to Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, who was a brilliant, genius woman. And she was working at a hospital in Europe. She interviewed over 200 patients who were terminally ill.
Mm-hmm.
And she interviewed them repeatedly, and she kept records of her interviews. And after that, she first put forth the five stages of dying.
Ugh.
And then when she published that work, it was a great breakthrough. It was a giant step forward in our understanding and compassionate treatment of terminally ill patients. Unfortunately, her work was generalized and misinterpreted and misapplied, in my opinion. And again, I'm not the only person who thinks this. But ever since, and this was like in the early 60s,
mm-hmm.
so that's been over 50 years ago. Now, since then, her five stages of dying have been generalized to the five stages of grief. And I think, I know for a fact, it has led to a lot of confusion among in the general public.
Well, you know, even I'm grieving. I don't like somebody telling me I'm in this stage.
Thank you.
You know, who are you to tell me what stage I'm in?
Right. And, you know, it's like using the word stages to describe grief. And if you say, you know, there are five stages, they end in acceptance. Do you not think that's really misleading, Linda?
Yeah, and I don't like being put in square boxes. And acceptance being the last of it all. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. All I know is, grieving is not neat. It's not in a little box. No. It's not in a little time capsule.
And it's not predictable. It's not linear. It's none of those things. And it doesn't automatically end in acceptance once and for all. Part of the misleading thing is that if you say, well, here are the five stages of grief, and the last one is acceptance, that implies that if you do absolutely nothing consciously or conscientiously about your grief work, you'll automatically end up in this stage called acceptance, and you'll be there forever.
Yeah.
And that is not how it works.
No.
And, you know, it just says human experience is not that neat, tidy, predictable, linear.
Right.
Experience. It's just not. And you know, at one time, Linda, I was a full-time bereavement counselor with a hospice there in the Tampa Bay area, and that meant that my full-time job was working with the families of hospice patients who had died.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would make lots of phone calls to them. I would make 3 to 5 home visits mm-hmm. every weekday. And I can't tell you the number of people who would say, well, I must be doing something wrong. I must not be doing this right, this grieving thing. I must not be doing it correctly because I'm not following, you know, what I heard one time I was supposed to be feeling.
Right.
And
what is that? That just puts more pressure on the grieving person.
Yes.
You know, like, oh, I'm not doing it the right way.
Right. As if there's a wrong way to feel your feelings.
Yeah.
So a lot of my book is about clarifying the reality of grief.
Mm-hmm.
For those who've experienced loss, if you haven't yet, I'd love to know how you avoided it. But whether or not you've experienced loss or you're currently actively grieving, this is helpful information for everybody if you're concerned about yourself or family members or other people who may be grieving.
Yes.
And I
want the listeners to remember, it's not just for people that are grieving from a death. It's people that could
That's
be
right.
grieving for just the loss of the capacity of their loved one right now, or the loss of their freedom, or their loss of how it used to be.
That's right. That's right. And we're all of us who have survived this pandemic so far are grieving the loss of normalcy.
Yes.
And the loss of normalcy is huge. I mean, that is really huge.
Yes, because we are creatures
of
habit.
Yes, yes. And we like to think that the world is predictable. Well, guess what? One thing we've learned from COVID is that, you know, life is not predictable if we didn't already know that.
Right.
And, you know, there have been huge losses, both tangible and intangible, concrete and abstract, for people all over the planet.
Yeah.
And so we always needed to know more about grief, and now even more than ever since the pandemic. We need to be sensitive to our own grief.
Yes.
And know how to manage that in ways that are positive, life-affirming,
mm-hmm.
and realistic.
Eating.
And we know, I'm sorry?
Not just filling your face with food. That's how...
No, that go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, yeah, a lot of people are trying to medicate and repress with food and other substances.
Yeah.
Busyness and all kinds of escapism. And if any of that worked, God knows I would sign me up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, the only thing that works for is you need a new wardrobe.
Yeah.
Yes. And you know what? It doesn't, you know, the grief doesn't go away just by pushing it down. It doesn't go away.
No.
No, I think you push it down, it's just more painful.
Yes.
And you're causing yourself more pain in the end.
Yeah.
I'm just disgusted with myself for not doing the right thing?
Well, the good news is that anybody that, you know, effective grief work is something anybody can learn. The principles are very simple. They're all written down in my book very clearly and succinctly. And anybody can successfully do grief work so that they're peaceful most of the time mm-hmm. with their losses.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody can do it. And the good news is we don't have to do it alone. I have a whole chapter on how you find your grief companions.
Mm-hmm.
We all need grief companions.
Yes.
And it's something none of us need to be afraid of or ashamed of.
No, not at all. Grace, we got to be wrapping it up in a little bit. So if people would want to go to you for grief coaching, where would they find you?
Okay, my website is angelsabide.com, angelsabide.com. I offer a free 30-minute get-acquainted session. You can go on my website and schedule that. And then the book is available at amazon.com in ebook and
paperback.
And if you want to email me, you can email me grace@angelsabide.com.
Perfect, perfect. And I will put all this information on the show and on the website. Thank you so much for being with us, Grace. I wish we had more time to talk, and I so appreciate you.
Well, honey, I appreciate you, too. And, you know, we have known each other a long time, Linda, and I have really watched you bloom and blossom, and I appreciate that you have stayed on the pathway to become more and more of who you truly are, and who you truly are is fabulous. and just know that I'm here for you as you continue to integrate your most recent traumatic loss.
Thanks, Grace.
And I just know that I appreciate all the good you do all the time.
You too, honey. Have a delicious day.
You too.
Bye-bye. Now it's time to hear from our wonderful partners, because you know the deal. If you don't hear from them, you don't hear from me. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you looking for compassionate and dependable home care for you or a loved one? Assisting Hands Home Care, serving Pinellas and Pasco counties, can help.
The day came that taking care of my mother was no longer the best thing for me or for her. Between kids and a job, I couldn't give her the attention she needed and deserved, and I was overwhelmed. So I reached out to Assisting Hands Home Care. Now I can see what an important decision that was, and I feel confident that my mother has compassionate and dependable caregivers who help her to stay happy, healthy, and home. Today, I'm able to visit with my mother and enjoy our time together, which is exactly what we both needed.
Assisting Hands Home Care. Call today for your free in-home consultation. In Pinellas, call 727-748-4211 or visit assistinghands.com. When you can't do it all, give Assisting Hands a call. Arden Courts is an assisted living facility designed to care for those that are struggling with dementia or Alzheimer's, where families and residents can feel the freedom with a nurse on site 24/7. Arden Courts provides specialized memory care in a safe and nurturing environment. They recognize every individual's physical, mental, and social needs and provide a secure environment that fosters independence for as long as possible. Walking paths, visual cues, and home-like amenities invoke a sense of freedom and independence. At Arden Courts, their goal is to make your loved one as comfortable, independent, and healthy as possible. They offer 10 hours a day of activities and programming with a unique setting of a home-like environment and 4 theme houses. It warms my heart to see how happy the residents are. Please call or stop in to talk with a representative. Arden Courts of Seminole at 727-517-7800, Largo 727-559-8411, or Palm Harbor 727-771-1600. Give them a call.
Is the fear of falling keeping you from doing the things you love? Do you suffer from diabetic neuropathy or plantar fasciitis? VoxLife can help. Whether you're caring for someone you love or being cared for, VoxLife wearable neurotech helps your body reach its full potential. proven to reduce symptoms of diabetic neuropathy and plantar fasciitis, VoxLife also reduces the risk of falling in adults over the age of 55 by 8 times. VoxLife is a safe, simple, drug-free solution that optimizes your neurology. The biggest breakthrough in wellness in 50 years. VoxLife offers a 30-day money-back guarantee. You can't afford not to try it. To learn more about VoxLife, go to www.voxlife.com/caregivers. That's www.voxlife.com/caregivers. They help my parents and they can help yours too.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Okay, caregivers, now it's time for the caregiver affirmation. Take a minute, take a deep breath, sit down, close your eyes if possible, and just listen to these words. I know on my journey there is help and hope. I affirm that I am a good caregiver, that I try my best each day, and I recognize that I deserve to have my own needs met just as much as those for whom I care. I promise I will not allow myself to be consumed by my caregiving role, and I will set aside time in my busy schedule just for me. I am mindful of the other caregivers in my life, and I will let them know that I appreciate their efforts. I am grateful for the people that walk beside me. I will take good care of my own health physically and spiritually, drink enough water, eat quality foods, allow for time to rest and to exercise, laugh often, if only at myself, and seek medical attention for my own health concerns. I am who I am, and I allow others to be who they are. Today I will add one item to my assisting angels list. Then if someone calls to say, let me know if there's something I can do, I will be ready to accept their offer and provide them with the opportunity to assist me. It is an honor to be of service of others, and I will not deny my friends and family this honor. Okay, think about it, caregivers.
You know what I say when somebody asks if they can help you? Say yes, thank you very much. I'm finally finding more and more caregivers are doing that every single day, and that just delights me. Because we can't do this alone. It's not an easy journey. And sometimes, you know, just going over to your neighbor and just knocking on the door and saying, I just want to make sure you're okay. I just want to say you're a fabulous caregiver and you're doing a great job. That can make a big difference in someone's day. So our next guest today is Vicky Veazey.
I like her name.
You like her name. And she's the author of Good Morning, I Love You, Maintaining Sanity and Humor Amidst Widowhood, Caregiving, and Alzheimer's. Whoa, that's a mouthful and that's a lot of stuff.
It's heavy.
So welcome, Vicky.
Hello, how are you, Linda?
Joyful and grateful. How are you today?
I'm the same as you, very joyful and grateful and smiling like crazy. Thank you for having me be a guest today. I really appreciate it.
Oh, I love it. Tell our listeners a little bit about your caregiving experience, Vicky.
Well, I was my mom's caregiver for a total of 13 years. She had Alzheimer's.
13 years.
And I was working full-time and I was married. So I was pretty busy between the caregiving and taking care of my mom and working full-time and everything. And then I started taking care of my dad, too, because a couple of years later, he was also diagnosed with dementia.
Oh, my.
And then my husband got sick, and for about 8 months, he was in and out of the hospital. Tough time. You know, and I was still, you know, doing the caregiving and working full time. And my husband passed away. Oh. And I made the decision to quit my job and be a full time caregiver for my parents. So I'm glad I did because those were the last 2 years of their lives. And it really gave me an opportunity to look at caregiving in a little bit different light because I didn't have the pressures of working anymore.
Right.
And that made a big difference. And a lot of caregivers are only taking care of one individual, whereas I was taking care of two people.
Yes.
And it's one person's hard enough. You take care of two individuals, it makes it a lot more difficult.
Well, you know, I always say to my caregivers that your caregiving experience can be the most horrific experience of your life or close to beautiful, depending on how you handle it.
And I think also, I believe it depends on how you look at it, how you accept it into your heart. Mm-hmm. I know at first, for the first couple of years, I was just a terrible caregiver. I was working and everything, and I wasn't able to really look at it from a different perspective that I should have, with a little bit more compassionate heart, more love in my heart for my mom.
Mm-hmm.
All I could see was that I was embarrassed that my mom had Alzheimer's.
Aww.
And how she was talking and you know, everything like that. And it wasn't until I learned, I took the time to do some research. I took the time to learn as much as I could about mm-hmm. Alzheimer's. And that's what I tell other caregivers now, is that your best defense as a caregiver is to know what kind of dementia your loved one has.
Yes.
And then learn as much as you can about that. Because each of the different types of dementia have different characteristics, a different
right.
outline of how their loved one is going to go through the disease. And when you have a better idea of what to expect, it makes such a big difference.
Yes.
You can actually then face those tough times in a little bit different way, so that you don't end up getting mad and lose your mm-hmm. temper like I did many times at the beginning. You can then have a more compassionate heart. And the more individuals you talk to and you share the fact that your loved one has a dementia of some sort, it makes a big difference too, because those first couple of years, I didn't tell anybody. I tried to keep it all to myself.
Yeah.
And it really wears on you then. But I say in my book, shower it out to the rooftops whenever you meet somebody else. Let them know that your loved one has dementia, because you don't know who they know
right.
that could help you.
Exactly.
And that makes a big difference, because a lot of those caregivers at the very beginning feel that they have to do it all themselves.
Yeah.
And that's so hard, because you do need to have help. I've known other caregivers that I met through my support group, and when I'd ask them, well, you know, you have family in the area, are they helping you? And they'll tell me, oh no, I'm not even letting them know that I need help.
Yeah.
And my information to them is, you've got to get them involved, because as their loved one progresses through the disease, they're going to need help. They can't do it all themselves.
And it's not fair to take that away from the person that wants to help you, or that other family mm-hmm. member. It's if they want to be part of it, and they want to be, and they can't help you if you don't tell them.
Definitely. And you know, people might be a little shy at first in helping, but if you train them and if you give them the opportunity to be around your loved one, then with time, they're going to feel more comfortable. Because let's face it, not everybody feels comfortable being around somebody with Alzheimer's,
right.
especially when they're in that middle stage, when they're asking questions repeatedly, they get odd behaviors, things like that. That's hard for a caregiver sometimes to deal with, but for somebody who's not around it 24/7, it makes it even more difficult. And you just have to get them involved in some way. And also, too, caregiver burnout. If a caregiver believes that they can do it all themselves, and by nature, we are very nurturing individuals, and the longer you're a caregiver, you're devoting more and more of your time each day to caregiving. And as a result, your family, your friends get put on the back burner. And before you know it, you have caregiver burnout. You're not even aware of it.
Right.
And that's what a lot of people just, and once you get caregiver burnout, it's hard to get out of it. It really is.
Yeah, sometimes it's too late. Sometimes you've done physical damage to yourself and not taking care of yourself, because you're so worried about taking your loved one to the doctor and make sure that they're eating properly, and make sure that many times caregivers just neglect themselves. And then, the worst scenario happens. And you know what? Can I just say one thing? When you were going back earlier to about getting the best education you can, and it's so important to get a proper diagnosis. But when you have that education ahead of time, then when a new thing happens, you're not so surprised. You're not so shocked. You're not so scared because you know about it.
Definitely, definitely. And if you're prepared emotionally, psychologically, even physically, you know what to look out for. For example, even though my parents have both passed away, I'm still a caregiver for my uncle, and he has Parkinson's. And I've been learning about Parkinson's, and I have a good idea of where he's at in terms of the stages. And he's now progressing into the final stage. So I have a better idea of what to expect with his disease, and which is so much different than the Alzheimer's that my parents went through. And you need to be prepared. When they get into that final stage especially, it's not that hard in terms of physically dealing with your loved one, because a lot of times they're bedbound at that point. But you need that psychological, that emotional preparation as your loved one is getting ready to pass away. Yeah. And that is then that emotional tug at your heart that you need to have an idea of what's coming up so that you're prepared.
Well, I tell you, I saw something on the Facebook the other day. You went to dinner with somebody or something like that, and you were like, woohoo! You know, big celebration.
Yes. It was my birthday a couple of days ago, and a friend of mine took me out to lunch, and I hadn't seen her for a couple of months. Normally, we have lunch about every month or so, but because of the COVID and everything, we hadn't been out for several months. And I'm going to tell you something. If I start to cry, please bear with me.
It's okay.
But she hugged me when I got to see her, and I hadn't had a hug in over a year because of COVID.
Yeah.
And you don't realize how important that is.
Yeah. Yeah. That's wonderful. And it is so wonderful. And I'm so glad now that people are starting to get vaccinations, and hopefully people will be able to hug more and get back out there, because it's isolation is not good. Isolation is not good.
No, it's not. And that's why I started my videos on Facebook and my newsletter, because once a year ago when we started all this COVID, I knew that the ones that were going to suffer the most are dementia caregivers.
Right.
Because especially if they had any home health aides coming in, or if they had
adult daycare
from their community, adult daycare, things like that, any kind of respite care, that a caregiver would be kind of leery about having their loved one being exposed around other individuals. So I knew that more dementia caregivers would become isolated even more than normal, because they'd be with their loved one more often. And that's why I reached out to caregivers, because I knew they needed to know that somebody was thinking about them.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody knows what they're going through and how agonizing it is that you don't get the balance in your life that you need as a result either.
Yeah, that's one thing we've been so blessed is be able to do support groups via Zoom and presentations, because I think that's just but gives us an opportunity to reach so many more people. And they don't have to leave their house,
definitely.
And they don't have to worry about someone taking care of their loved one. They don't have to worry about driving, you know, and so it really has been fabulous in that part.
Definitely, because I know when my parents were still alive, I attended a couple of on-site conferences for caregivers, but it was hard to coordinate it with my schedule because my parents couldn't be by themselves for any length of time.
Right.
And it was very hard to schedule somebody to come in and watch them. And that's the nice thing about the virtual. You can reach out to a bigger audience. You don't have to schedule somebody to come in and watch your loved one so that you can go off-site somewhere. And more information is available as a result at a person's fingertips. So that's been one of the positives to the COVID.
Well, actually, recently we were co-presenters at a dementia caregiver conference at Debbie's wonderful conference.
Yes, we were.
And I want to chat with you because I'm doing a conference in November because it's been such a wonderful thing. So we were co-presenters with Susan Straley, who was on the show a couple weeks ago, three authors and about their books. But we talked a lot about journaling. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes. Journaling is really good for caregivers or for anybody in that respect, because it helps you to reflect on what your day has been like as a caregiver, the pros, the cons. At first, I didn't have time to journal, and I really didn't think much about it. But I'd jot notes onto my calendar all the time, and then I'd go back to my notes periodically to see, well, what worked out as a new bag of tricks item that I'd use to keep my mom engaged, or if she'd had a bad day,
right.
What did I use to kind of bring her back around? And then I started writing things down in a notebook, and that made it a lot easier because I could write more information as a result. And at first it's hard because you think, oh, well, you have to write in perfect sentences and grammar and punctuation. But the main thing is that you get your thoughts down.
Yeah.
Because there have been times I've gone back to my journal when I've needed to consult something to pass information on to another caregiver. I created a document called Journaling 101 Ideas to Help Dementia Caregivers, and it gives do's and don'ts and also some starter ideas on how to do some writing in your journal. And after the conference that you and I were on together, Linda, I've actually sent this document out to other other caregivers, and they've given me feedback, and they felt that it was a really beneficial document that I created. So,
well, I would love that if you could send it to me, too. I would love that.
Okay, will do.
Yeah.
But journaling is good because, like I said, it gives you a chance to have some quiet time at the end, and I recommend at the end of the day when your loved one is in bed and you have just some quiet time to yourself, have a glass of wine, a cup of tea, think about how your day has been and what are the positives, what are the negatives, and sometimes write some other things in there, you know, depending on what kind of mood you're in that day. But it's really helps you because it puts your caregiving in a better perspective.
Yeah.
I think you have more respect for yourself as a caregiver, and you realize that you're a much better caregiver than you normally give yourself credit for.
Exactly. We have to start wrapping up now. I just want to hear your last story about the title of your book and where our listeners can reach you and where can they get your book.
Okay, the title of my book is Good Morning, I Love You, Maintaining Sanity and Humor Amidst Widowhood, Caregiving, and Alzheimer's. And the first part of the title, Good Morning, I Love You, related to my husband. And he was retired when we got married, so I'd go off to work, and I would leave a post-it note on the bathroom mirror each morning. And it always started off with, Good morning, I love you. And then it'd be kind of a little reminder about the pups that we have, or, you know, we have a date night or pizza night or something like that. And if I didn't go and leave a note on the mirror, if I missed a morning, I'd get a text message or a phone call saying, where's my note? You know, so it became a tradition for us. And after he passed away, when I was going through his effects, he had saved all my notes.
Oh, I love that. I love
that. He saved every single one. And a footnote to this is that a couple years before he died, he had written a book, and he couldn't get it published. And I mentioned to him, well, I'm writing a book, too, at the time. And I had been... didn't put anything down in paper yet. It was all in my mind. And he looked at me kind of dubious, like, oh, yeah, sure, you're right, writing a book, yeah. And I said, yes, I am, because I've wanted to write a book since I was in junior high school. So he looked at me, and he said, what's the title of your book? Well, I didn't have a working title at the time, so I took a moment or two, and I looked at him. I said, good morning, I love you.
I love that.
And he looked at me, and he got the neatest little smile on his face. He didn't say a word, but he knew where that was.
You know, a couple of weeks or a while before my dad passed away, he wrote on the bathroom mirror in soap to his wife, good morning, my beautiful wife. And she didn't clean that mirror for about a year. You know, we kept it as long as we could. But he was also good at writing little notes and stuff, and that really meant a lot. Where can all listeners find you?
Well, My book can be purchased on Amazon, or it can be ordered through bookstores like Barnes & Noble. It's in four formats: hardcover, paperback, ebook, and also an audiobook, which I narrated. I have a website, info, Vicki Veazey at...
VickiVeazey.com.
Let me see. .com, yes. And I'm also on Facebook, Vicki Helton and Veazey. And I always look forward to hearing from readers. And I'm also in the process of writing two additional books right now.
Wow. Thanks so much for being on the show. I really appreciate you. We'll talk soon, and I'll get all your information on my website.
Thank you, Linda. I appreciate you. Take care. Have a great day.
Thanks. God bless. Now it's time to hear from our wonderful partners, so don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Choosing the right chiropractor is an important choice to make. Located in Seminole, the Alexander Spine Center team is trained on the latest chiropractic treatments and technologies. At Alexander Spine Center, you'll find chiropractic and physical therapy care that is safe, effective, and a natural approach to pain and other health-related issues. Chiropractic unlocks your body's potential and natural healing process to ensure your life is a healthy life. We treat clients from the womb to the tomb. Call 727-397-3000 for a free consultation today, or visit our website at www.alexanderspinecenter.com.
They take good care of me twice a week. And did you know they got the Reader's Choice Award for 2019 for the best chiropractic in Pinellas County? So check them out. Arden Courts is an assisted living facility designed to care for those that are struggling with dementia or Alzheimer's, where families and residents can feel the freedom with a nurse on site 24/7. Arden Courts provides specialized memory care in a safe and nurturing environment. They recognize every individual's physical, mental, and social needs and provide a secure environment that fosters independence for as long as possible. Walking paths, visual cues, and home-like amenities invoke a sense of freedom and independence. At Arden Courts, their goal is to make your loved one as comfortable, independent, and healthy as possible. They offer 10 hours a day of activities and programming with a unique setting of a home-like environment and four theme houses. It warms my heart to see how happy the residents are. Please call or stop in to talk with a representative. Arden Courts of Seminole at 727-517-7800, Largo 727-559-8411, or Palm Harbor 727-771-1600. Give them a call.
Guaranteed to make you laugh through your tears, Linda Burhan's book, Good Night and God Bless, is filled with humor and heartfelt inspiration to aid anyone facing the challenge of caring for a loved one at the end of life. Her story offers hope for human strength and understanding of weaknesses during a difficult time. Life doesn't normally prepare us to become a loved one's caregiver. When it happens, it's usually sudden. A diagnosis of an illness, age-related frailty, dementia, and life suddenly is anything but normal. And because we don't even know what we don't know, where do we turn to for help or guidance? In Connecting Caregivers, answers to the questions you didn't know you needed to ask, Linda offers information, education, and inspiration from her own experience and from experts whose advice, practical tools, and personal stories will empower and guide you. Make sure to add these inspiring books to your collection today, available on Amazon.com.
Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network.
Time to get your pen and paper. Lynn's got good stuff to tell you.
Not a lot, but I have some.
That's good.
To RSVP to any of these events, go to lindaburhans.com and send a message, and Linda will send you the link. First of all, there's a journaling workshop for caregivers. It's the second Monday of each month. The next one will be April 12th at 11 a.m. And then A Daughter's Journey with Love, Laughter, and Lessons Learned is on May 5th at 11 a.m. at Freedom Square. And that's with Linda Burhans,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, it's the first live one. I'm very excited about that.
Will it be both?
Yes, it will be both. It will be both. So they can come live, or they can see it online. So
I'll keep people. Getting,
I know.
We went out yesterday. First time I'd been in a restaurant.
I know.
In over a year.
Well, that's like Vicki just said too. Got hugged.
But I kind of felt depressed nobody was in the restaurant. How do they stay? I hope they get takeout orders because it's very... I think there's a lot of...
Yeah, it's been a very tough time.
It's going to get better.
Yep, it is getting better. Also, the Veterans Heat Factory is having a fundraising event on Saturday, May 8th at the VFW on Edward Knoll Drive. They're featuring former recording artist Lenny Emanuele and the Remember When Band. So these musicians play songs from the 1950s through the 1980s. So the Veteran Heat Factory helps veterans and first responders that suffer from PTSD. So if you want any of that, let me know. Also, Kate McCarty has her support groups, but she also has a virtual memory cafe, which is you can come on with your loved one, and they do some different crafts and some different things. And she has them three days a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays at 11:10. So if you're interested in that, send me that information. Just email me, and I will get you that information. Got the big conference coming up in November. Very excited about that. So we are rocking and rolling. So thanks so much for being here today. You know how much I appreciate you all. Remember, if you need a resource, if you have a question, contact me. If I don't have the answer, I know someone that does have the answer.
And don't forget, happy St. Patrick's Day Wednesday. That's the day we get our second COVID shot. And set your clocks ahead.
Yes.
Spring forward.
Well, actually, on Thursday, after we get our shots, I am going to Kissimmee to see my friend Noreen from high school. And Noreen and I used to go to the St. Patty's Day parade when we were younger, have a couple of beers, and every time those bagpipes came, we were balling.
They're both as Irish as Patty's Bake.
Yeah, she's really Irish. Yeah. Her dad looked like a leprechaun. He really did. So I'll be so glad to see Noreen and Rick and just see friends again.
And I'm having corned beef dinner at my sister's.
It's very nice.
Which you were invited, but you are going to Kissimmee, which we used to call Kissimmee when we moved here.
Oh, kiss me every day. All right, so tune in next week where we will have some more fabulous guests as always. Remember, God loves you all the time, and have a delicious day.
When you're down and troubled, and you need a helping hand, and nothing's going right, close your eyes and think of me, and soon I will be brighten up even your darkest night. You just call up my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running. Oh yeah, babe, to see you again. Winter, spring, summer.